You know, I was thinking tonight, we're starting the three-week series Pastor Dan asked me to do, and thank you for the opportunity, on the topic of life after death. Are you ready to learn about life after death? And life after death is a pretty popular topic out there. I would probably venture to say that there are many people all over the world that believe in life after death. But the question is this: what do they believe in life after death? You know, just because they believe in life after death doesn't mean they believe what we believe. And over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to share with you, I've studied a lot about other religions in the world, and I kind of know what they believe in life after death. And I'll tell you a little bit about what others believe in life after death, and then what the Bible teaches about life after death. You know, some of the wackiest beliefs out there about life after death teach that maybe when you die, you might come back, and you might live again after death, but you might come back as a bird. Other religions teach that when you die, man, there might be life after death for you, but you might come back maybe as a god. Maybe you might come back as an animal. There's so many different teachings out there. How do you know which one is right? How do you know which one to believe? Over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to share with you some of those teachings, and I'm going to share with you from God's Word how you can know from God's Word what to truly believe is true about life after death. Life after death. And I was reading a story, but let me have you open your Bibles first to John chapter number 11. That's where we're going to be here in just a moment. But I was reading a story that was pretty interesting, and it was about an employee. An employee called into work and asked to speak to his boss at work. And he told his boss this. He said that he needed to leave work early on Thursday because he had to go to his grandmother's funeral. So the employee left work early on Thursday, showed back up to work on Friday morning, and when the employee got back to work on Friday morning, the boss asked him this very important question. The boss asked his employee this question: do you believe in life after death? Yes, sir, the employee replied. The boss said, that's good, because after you left early yesterday to go to your grandmother's funeral, she stopped in to see you. Yeah. You know, that's a funny story. I've actually had students tell me that at the college, and I found out later there was no funeral. So I can relate to that story. You know, that story is a joke, but isn't it a great thing to know that there really is life after death? When Christopher Columbus, a little bit of history, when Christopher Columbus first tried to sail in search of the New World, which we now call America, many people thought that he would just fall off the earth. Everyone thought that the earth was flat. They didn't think that there was anything beyond the earth that they lived on. They didn't think there was anything beyond the earth that they knew. Christopher Columbus proved them wrong, and he demonstrated that there is life beyond what we know. There is life beyond what you and I can see. After Christopher Columbus's voyage to the New World, he returned back to Europe, and there is a memorial in the country of Spain which commemorates Christopher Columbus's founding of the New World. Part of that memorial includes a statue of a lion with a plate, and the words on that plate are the Spanish national motto, which is non plus ultra. Translated into English, Spanish national motto is no more beyond. In Spain, they thought this was it. You can't go any further beyond here. There is nothing beyond. Boy, that's an encouraging motto, huh? No more beyond. But the interesting thing is about that memorial, about that statue of that lion, is the lion has one of his paws stretched out, and it's basically tearing away one of the words in the Spanish national motto. It's the Spanish word for the word no, to where now, on that plate, it reads these two words, more beyond. There you see it on the screen behind me. Christopher Columbus proved that there was more beyond. And for the believer in Jesus Christ, we know that there is indeed more beyond. Jesus Christ proved, Jesus Christ demonstrated that there is life beyond what we know. That there is life beyond what we can see on this earth. That there is life, and life does exist after death on a different plane of existence. We just celebrated the Christian holiday known as Easter, which is also known as Resurrection Sunday. And it is on that day, on the very first Easter, that we get a glimpse of life after death and what it holds for the believer in Jesus Christ today. In the Gospels, we read that Jesus did conquer death and that he was raised to life. But even before Jesus accomplished this great feat, he told others that he would do it. For instance, look with me on the screen at Matthew 16, verse 21. The Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. But then it says, and be, read it with me, raised again the third day, the third day. The Bible tells us that Jesus told his disciples that he would suffer, he would be killed, but on the third day, he would be risen from the dead. Could Jesus' disciples believe these words? Yes. How, Pastor Rich? Because Jesus had the power to defeat death. Look with me in John chapter number 11 in God's word. If you go with me down to verse number 23, we get a glimpse here of what Pastor Dan preached on this morning. I had this written out for a few weeks, I'm sorry. But we'll get a little bit of a review here for a moment. In John chapter 11, verse number 23, there's a man named Lazarus who had died. And Jesus told this to his sister, Martha, in verse 23, John 11, 23. He said this to her. Jesus said unto her these words, thy brother shall, what are the last two words? Rise again. Your brother will rise again. And Jesus, right then and there, demonstrated that he had the power to give life after death. And then he shared with Martha a few more words. Go down to verse number 25. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. He is the resurrection and he is the life. Through his own verbal testimony, he told this to Martha. And he said, whoever believes that truth, that he is the resurrection, that he is the life, they would be passed from death unto life. And he asked Martha, Martha, do you believe it? And she said, yea, Lord, I believe it. My question for you tonight is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? The Bible says, in Romans chapter 1, verse number 4, it's on the screen. It says these words, and declared, speaking of Jesus, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the what? Resurrection from the dead. Paul wrote in Philippians 3:10 these words. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We believe and we serve a very powerful God that can do anything above what we ask or what we even think. Now, when we talk about power, and we talk about power, Jesus wasn't one of those strong men who could pull semis with his teeth or just with his bare hands, you know, like the guy in this picture here. You know, this guy, does this guy look strong to you? yeah, this guy looks strong. I would say this guy is strong, but as powerful as this guy is on the screen, as powerful as he is, can he raise the dead? No, he can't raise the dead. I was reviewing this message in the van on the way here, and then I got to that point, and Elijah said, oh, yeah, he can. He said, yeah, he can pull his body up out of the grave. He can raise him out of the grave. But Elijah said this to me, smart kid. He goes, but he can't bring him back to life. And that's what we're talking about. When we say raise him from the dead, we talk about this. We say that Jesus is the one that can bring someone back to life. Jesus' power is different than this guy's power. This guy is powerful. He can pull a semi, but his power is limited. Jesus' power is unlimited because Jesus has something that this guy doesn't have, and it's called eternal power. Eternal power, which is much more powerful than this guy and much more powerful than anything you and I can ever imagine. Power that is unlimited. Power that goes beyond, that transcends the physical. Paul said this in Romans 1:16. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul? Why aren't you ashamed of the gospel? He said, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only," Paul said, but he said, "but also in power. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved," Paul wrote in Colossians 1:18, "it is the power of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Because of God's eternal power, Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 12:9 these words, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power." Colossians 1:11. I love this verse on the screen from 2 Corinthians 13:4. It says this, one of my favorite verses. It says, "For though he," Jesus, "was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth." Well, how does he live, Paul? By the what? By the power of God. "For we are also weak in him," but Paul writes, "but we shall live with him." Well, how are we going to do that, folks? By the power of God toward you. On the screen, Ephesians 1:19 says this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? It's according to the working of his mighty" what? Power. His mighty power. Notice this. It says, "which he wrought in Christ." How did he display his power? When he raised him from the, when he raised him from the dead. You know, verse 21 says that the power of Christ is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And ye are complete in him. You're complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2:10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Ephesians 6. Jesus said that he would rise again from the dead. And Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. And he's promised to do the same thing for those of us who believe in him. just as he was risen from death unto life, you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, will be risen from death unto life. There is life after death for the believer in Jesus Christ. I love this verse here also in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 14, on the screen behind me as well. There we go. It says, and God hath both, I love the word both in this verse. It says, and God hath both raised up who? The Lord, and will also raise up who? Us. Well, how will he do it? By his own power. By his own power. What separates Jesus from any other person? What separates Jesus from every other founder of any other religion in the world? It's the fact that Jesus is not dead, but Jesus is alive with power. Jesus's power is unlimited. Jesus's power is far above all, not some, all principality and power. Jesus can accomplish the impossible because, as I said, his power transcends the physical. What might be physically impossible for us to do is not impossible for him to do. He's proved it. He's demonstrated. He said he was going to do it, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He said he would rise again from the dead, and although Jesus' words should be validation enough for us to simply believe, Jesus said it, and we should believe it. The Bible speaks that other witnesses could testify to the fact that what Jesus said would come true did come true. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Hold your place in John, by the way, before you get too far away. We'll come back there if we have time, but I need to probably save some of this for next week. In John chapter, in 1 Corinthians 15, witnesses, not only Jesus, like I said, Jesus said it, and Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. But even if we were to take Jesus' word out of the equation, we could still go to other witnesses, such as those that are named here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, that could testify of this truth. In 1 Corinthians 15, go with me to verse number 4. Here we have the gospel. It says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5 says, and that he was seen of Cephas. Who's Cephas? And then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present. This present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, Paul writes, he was seen of who? Me, also, as one born out of due time. The Bible states here in 1 Corinthians 15 that at one point Jesus was seen of at least 500 people after his resurrection. This chapter also states the names of specific people who saw Jesus after his resurrection. But there were those who did not see Jesus after his resurrection, such as Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, who said, unless I see him, I will not believe. Go back to the book of John with me. And this time to John chapter number 20. In John chapter 20, if you will go down to verse number 25, we read the account here of the disciples gathering together, and they're approached by Thomas. Verse number 25, it says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, unto Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he, that's Thomas, said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side. What are the last four words Thomas said? I will not believe. Thomas wanted to see the nail marks in his hands. Thomas wanted to see the mark of the spear in his side. And there will be doubters today, just as there were doubters in that day. But Jesus chose to reveal himself to this doubter 8 days later. Go with me to verse 27. It says, "Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Go with me to verse 29. Verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas," I love this verse, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me," because you've seen me, you've believed. But then he says, "Blessed are they that have" what? "Not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those of us who were not witnesses to the resurrected Jesus Christ. Blessed are those of us who did not see the resurrected Jesus Christ in person, like Cephas, like James, like the apostles, like the disciples, like the 500 that saw him at one time. Blessed are those who did not see, but have believed. You see, the greatest faith that any of us can possess is the ability to believe without seeing. That's what Jesus said. You know, it's easy to believe something. I'll close with this illustration. It's easy to believe something when you see it. That's a no-brainer. But it takes real trust to believe something that you have not seen. I mentioned yesterday was my wife's birthday. Kathy turned 29. Plus 20. But she still looks good. Hubba hubba. The couples retreat is coming up this coming weekend. Y'all remember that. Suppose for Kathy's birthday, just suppose that I told her that I had bought some new earrings for her birthday, and I showed them to her right then and there. She would have no problem believing me, would she? No. But if I told her that I bought her some new earrings for her birthday, but I did not have the earrings to show her right then and there, but she had heard through the grapevine, through some people that she did not know personally, that they had seen those beautiful new earrings, it would require my wife to believe their testimony and my testimony, even though she had never seen them, right? That requires faith. That requires trust. That's so true of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know Peter personally. I don't know James. I don't know Paul. But I know that they have said that Jesus has risen from the dead and that he is alive. I know what Jesus has said, that he has risen from the dead and that he is alive. And because I wasn't there to see it, it requires me and it requires you to believe their testimony, to believe Jesus' words. It requires faith. That's why Jesus said, blessed are those of us who did not see the resurrected Jesus Christ, but have believed. You see, my wife, she could believe the testimonies about those earrings. My wife could believe the testimony of others about those new earrings I got from her for her birthday, although she had never seen them, because she knows my track record and she knows that I keep my word to her. Can I share something with you that you already know? God has a much better track record than I do. A much better track record at keeping his word and doing what he says he's going to do. He told them all the way back, "I'm going to have to suffer many things of the chief priests and the elders, be killed, but on the third day,
I will be raised again. I will rise again. Jesus' words are true. They can be believed upon. And many others have testified that as well. And although we can't see it, we can believe it. Jesus told that to Thomas. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Amen? Amen.